No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, Ed and Keith are talking amongst themselves, as you could plainly hear there. What are you doing?
Because we're so more interesting than talking to you.
Well, you're definitely more interesting today. There's some big news to share about Ed and Keith and flight training professionals on Just Plane Radio today, and I'll just congratulate you in advance. But we'll leave it at that, because we have some other big news we got to talk about first. Do we not, guys?
That's the bigger news. The big news.
The big news. Well, this past Tuesday... Bob Hoover has passed away, and I mean, the aviation industry is a buzz, obviously, because of this. We lost one of the true pioneers of aviation, we're going to reminisce a little bit about the big guy, right?
Yeah.
Me and him were close personal friends, and I have the audio to prove it. You will hear it later on the show. In the meantime, we got this.
Well, they didn't know I was flying till long after I'd been flying. They wouldn't even let me drive the car. But I was sure flying my pants off, I'll tell you that.
No doubt. I have no doubt indeed. But yeah.
So, like Bob, I was
flying your pants off?
When I was that age, I was learning to fly before I could technically legally drive. But, you know, hey.
You aren't just flying naked.
No.
Okay, just to clarify.
No,
Bob Hoover was very giving of his time, mm-hmm. even for some schmo like me. It was a couple years ago,
2 years ago, actually,
yeah.
almost to the day.
To this
it was NBAA 2014 mm-hmm. that we met him.
Yeah, well, we saw him give a presentation at the morning breakfast thing, mm-hmm. and then and they were talking about that movie at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, he was on stage with was it Sean Tucker, and they were telling story. He basically, Sean was the moderator, and Bob was just, they pull up a picture, and Bob would talk for like 20 minutes about whatever was in the picture.
Right.
And I could have stayed there all day and
yeah.
listening. I think if I remember correctly, the picture was Bob Hoover, Charles Lindbergh, mm-hmm. and Neil Armstrong in the picture.
Right. And you described what had happened, how that
all came to be. And evidently it was like 2 weeks after Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, and Lindbergh had contacted Bob to see if he could arrange a meeting. And that, you know, just the history sitting in that picture was amazing.
It was. It was impressive.
Then to hear how it all came about was even more amazing.
Yeah. Now, that was part of the release. They were talking about his life and giving him a big award. And then what was the movie, The Feathered Flight? We're going to have to pull
Yeah, you're going to have to pull that up.
I'm going to have to watch that again this week. It's on my
feathered
list.
Feathered Edge, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, on the Feathered Edge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Flying on the Feathered Edge.
Yeah.
And that's a documentary that they released, you know, right about that time, just over a year ago. So look it up. It's probably online now,
for all
I know. But it's good stuff for sure, and I'm going to have to watch that for sure. So, you know, he gave this big presentation, gave this talk at the NBAA show, and Ed and I were there. We witnessed this. That was truly a cool moment for sure. And then later on that afternoon, Ed and I split up. I went off and did some stuff.
And I went and worked.
Yeah. And I went off and did what I do, which is just wander and go on a walkabout amongst the aisles there at the NBAA show. And lo and behold, there I see Bob. And I'm like, there he is. Oh, my gosh. And he signed a poster. So I got a poster.
Which we have at the office.
Right, for flight training professionals. So I had him sign a poster, and I started talking to him a little bit and told him what we do. And he kind of goes, yeah, that's interesting. Okay, you do a radio show about flying? Okay, if you say so. And he was still talking to me. And I said, hey, would you mind recording a little audio or being on our show? And he goes, well, I don't know if I want to do that. No, it'll be real short. Trust me, Bob. Look at me. Do I look like someone who'd try to pull one over on you? No, no, no. Come on. And he goes, well, okay. And so he was nice enough to, you know, talk to me just a little bit, and we recorded this little audio that I'm going to play a little later on in the show that proves that Bob Hoover and I became close personal friends.
He's always got to have the proof.
Yeah, because well, nobody would believe him.
Otherwise, nobody
would
believe him.
Nobody would believe you. It well, is Greg after
I
all.
Have the proof, and you will hear it on Just Plain Radio once again today and many more times in the weeks to come.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to rub it into you guys for the rest of eternity.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but he, the fact was that he was nice enough to talk to some beginning pilot schmo like me.
Well, and that's what that generation in general was like that. But mm-hmm. from what I understand, that was just him. He was very approachable. Many people have stories just like ours. You know, saw him on Facebook this week. You know, friends of mine that have met him at air shows over the years, and he always took the time to stop and talk to anybody and everybody mm-hmm. because he just loved aviation that much. And one of the comments I read was he had met Jimmy Doolittle, and Jimmy Doolittle led the raid on Tokyo in World War II, and Jimmy Doolittle said that, you know, Bob Hoover was the best stick and rudder pilot he'd ever seen.
Right.
You know, so here's another aviation legend commenting on what we saw of Bob Hoover. And if you do get a chance to see that video they put out a couple of years ago about Bob's career, it's well worth it, because there are a lot of analogies like that. And
absolutely, I knew he was a big deal when Han Solo said he was. And see, I was new to the aviation world. I honestly didn't know who Bob Hoover was when we started Just Plain Radio. I quickly found out because everybody said, hey, you've got to talk to Bob Hoover. I'm like, who? Who is this guy? And then all of a sudden I hear, Harrison Ford mm-hmm. Talking him up on some video thing or whatever. And I'm like, whoa, if he's a big deal to the captain of the, you know.
The Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. He's a big deal. I better find out who this guy is. And then, you know, I slowly but surely educated myself, and we became close personal friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keith, did you ever get to see him perform his routine?
Oh, yeah.
In air show?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
You did see him actually perform?
Yeah.
And when was the last time he actually flew? That was quite a while ago, wasn't it?
Well, there was some issue that the FAA removed his medical.
Right.
And so he had to start flying with somebody else. And there's actually a whole book written on that. And part of this third-class medical reform really does stem from some of that as mm-hmm. well.
But you didn't see his last acrobatic flight.
Probably not his last
one. Not his last one, no.
No, because that was but, quite a while ago, yeah. Right?
Well, yeah. I saw his routines, and he was, I want to say 88 or 89, somewhere in that time frame,
mm-hmm.
and or the early 90s.
Okay.
And he was flying the Shrike Commander, which is, for the people who don't know what Shrike Commander, it's a twin-engine piston airplane. And he had a routine where he would feather one engine and continue to do the aerobatic routine, and eventually feather both engines and continue to do aerobatics with no power, just energy management, mm-hmm. land the airplane, and taxi up to show center with both engines shut down and feathered.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I saw the video, supposedly, of his last acrobatic flight doing just that.
Yeah.
And it's up there on YouTube. You can Google that for sure. But it's impressive, because not only does he land with no power, then he makes a turn, and then it just comes to a, you know, slow stop right there in front of the crowd. Like, he knows exactly when it's going to actually come to a stop without even hitting
not
the brake.
Like he does.
He did, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It was impressive stuff. And I don't know. I don't think anybody has come close to replicating that type of stuff. Would you put anyone on that pedestal today? Even some of the acrobatic pilots out there, you think, or no? I know they all look up to him, but I just wonder, I don't know if we have someone who's had that much star power, you think?
I'm not aware of anybody.
Yeah.
No, I know that he took Bob took Sean Tucker under his wing, and, you know, was advising him. And,
right.
And you know, I know Sean's been out on the airshow circuit for 20 or 30 years
right.
himself. So.
Yeah. I mean, they do some insane stuff, but still, but, you know, you yeah. say Bob Hoover, he's kind of like in a different category.
A different category.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we'll ever have somebody at that level mm-hmm. again. You know, that
perfect skills, perfect timing. Mm-hmm. You know, just the planets aligned and created this this master for the industry that everybody could look up to, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just, in anything that you look at as far as a pilot is concerned, Bob mastered it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just being being near him just gave you the opportunity to suck some of that talent away from him. That's what I believe, since I know him or knew him at the end there and got to know him well. We became close personal friends.
Was he still flying when
he said hi to me
when you got to meet him?
What's that?
Was he still flying when you got to meet him?
No.
Oh, so you didn't get to suck any of that stuff?
No, I did. I mean, he still had that amongst his essence, and he blessed me and did the whole thing.
But you haven't used it yet.
Fly, my son. You're going to be good in the future.
Okay.
Yeah, the audio's coming up. I'll prove it right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What's the flight situation?
Simple. There's no way on earth we're going to get out of here tonight. We'd have more luck playing pickup sticks with our butt cheeks than we will getting a flight out of here before daybreak.
I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly.
Hi there. Bob Hoover here. You are listening to Just Plane Radio. Here's Greg, your co-pilot, and some other folks.
Bob Hoover, me and him, close personal friends.
Okay, all that proves is you got somebody to record that. That doesn't prove, because you weren't on there.
What do you mean? Well, he said, here's Greg, your co-pilot, and some other guys.
But, you know, you could have had somebody getting him to record that for you.
No, why would I lie about that?
I know, I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, Greg. We're close personal friends. Well, you know, we lost him this past Tuesday. We'll miss him, and... But, you know, I have no doubt that I absorbed some of his talent.
His juju.
I just haven't
put it
to work just yet. But it's back in, it's in my cells now. It'll come out eventually.
It'll come out. Yeah, that's right.
No, it will. I'll use it.
The reason I chuckle at that is there's a story that I did read in the past week about Bob is that... When he started to learn how to fly, he got sick.
That's right. Yeah.
and violently.
That reminded you of Greg?
Yeah, very definitely reminded me of Greg. But no, you know, we have people that come to us to learn how to fly.
Sure.
And there are some that are you know, have this amazing passion to do it, but the first couple times they go up, they get sick. And I spent a lot of time talking to them about that, and I use myself as an example because the first two times I was in an airplane, first time I got violent ill, and we all know, I've explained many times in the past, I don't believe it is a spectator sport. So if somebody gets sick in the airplane with me, I want to join in. Mm-hmm.
So when we fly together, I try to get sick.
Yeah, or you fake it.
No, the first time I did really get sick, and second time I was a little queasy, and my cousin who was flying gave me the controls and told me to fly to that grain elevator out in the distance because I learned to fly or lived in Illinois, and so I just did. And then after that, I really didn't have any problem. But also, you know, reading that story reminded me, okay, there are a lot of people that were like that. And mm-hmm. So now I can use that as an example. Hey, here's Bob Hoover, who is this amazing pilot, and he got sick his first few times flying.
Right. And well, actually, someday they'll look back at my flying career and say the same thing, that we taught this guy, you can use me, and his nickname in college was the Chunkster. And he still managed to get over that little hurdle and learn how to fly.
Yeah. Well, and ironically enough, Chuck Yeager also got sick on his first flight. Yeah.
Hmm.
And so here's another pilot who also happened to be, you know, a good friend of Bob Hoover's, and Bob was his backup pilot on the X-1 project.
Yeah. Now, why did flying towards the silo solve it for you?
Well, because looking out in the distance, the silo wasn't moving, so my eyes backed up to my brain, said, ignore the ear, trust the eyes, there's no motion here, move on.
Got it.
And that's a technique that we teach instructors to use with people when they're flying.
But Keith, if you want to punk Ed, what do you have to do? Well, I just talk about, like, hey, what do you have for breakfast? Like fried eggs, lots of greasy bacon. What do you do?
I just have to get into an airplane and start dry heaving.
Okay.
No, it's the smell. It's not the
smell.
Oh, I can take care of that too.
Okay.
As you proved earlier.
But hello!
We had a barking spider in the studio earlier.
Interesting. I didn't know they made sounds like that. Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
You know, we do miss Bob, but
His career spanned such a wide part of aviation. I mean, he learned to fly and was a fighter pilot in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Was a prisoner of war. He did get shot down and was a prisoner of war and escaped. And actually tried a few escapes, and he said he was in solitaire. So you think about, you know, stuff you saw from, I don't remember what that movie was, The Great Escape, or
don't look at me when you're talking about movies.
Okay. Steve McQueen
and
in solitaire throwing the ball against the wall. And, you know, so he tried to escape mm-hmm. a few times and got caught.
Yeah.
But did eventually escape and flew a Focke-Wulf 190, stole an airplane.
Right.
From a German fighter airplane from behind enemy lines, and flew it to Norway across the
Didn't he tell that story and say he was concerned about being shot down?
Yeah.
And that's why, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. Just things like that. Then mm-hmm. then into his test pilot days, working for North American Aviation as a test pilot and being test pilots in airplanes like the F-86 and the F-100 and with some amazing military aircraft and then flying the P-51 in air shows, and he was the Reno Air Races for years, he was the pace airplane in his yellow airplane.
Really?
He would fly in front of them while they got up and into formation, just like a pace car at Indy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would pull up and out, just like the pace car pulls off the track, and off they go.
There you go. And he was also very generous with his time with people like me, like I said earlier. Yeah. And I think maybe one of those reasons is what happened to him, because he credits what got him into aviation was... some famous pilot saw him on the tarmac as a kid and saw that he was, like, you know, wide, eyes wide open, mouth open, looking at this huge plane, and the pilot said, "Hey, kid, you want to come up here and take a look at what it's like from the cockpit?" And that's what hooked them.
Yeah.
So, you know, that reaching out to the younger generation to get them excited about aviation, mm-hmm. I think, is what inspired him to, you know, deal with schmoes like me. Like, yeah. Okay, I won't blow them off.
Yeah. Well, and but like I say, that the thing is, yeah, schmoes like you, schmoes mm-hmm. like all of us. From what I understand, is he was that way with everybody all his life, and probably as a result of his first experience. And that's what we as aviators need to remember, is that we are now aviation ambassadors just like he was, mm-hmm. and we need, and you have some pretty big shoes to fill right. there. And we just need to remember that
even if you can't do all the test flying and everything else.
No, exactly. But you can still encourage people to get into aviation and make it a experience, good experience for them.
Right on. Right on. Well, and he did. He did a lot in that regard, for sure. And maybe you guys could learn a little bit from that and be a little bit more generous to me. As opposed to...
Notice how it always comes back to that.
Busting that I tend to get. No.
No.
It's not going to change. You're not going to follow his example that he led all throughout his life. I'm trying here. I'm really trying.
Well, you know, there's something that here I want to read you here.
Uh-oh. Me or for everyone else?
No, for you.
Oh, okay.
Look out.
Me.
Look out.
So this is an article about Bob Hoover.
Yeah.
He's known for his ability to tell one engaging aviation story after another, like we just talked about.
Yeah.
Hoover loved interacting with pilots and prospective pilots, often going out of his way to speak to children,
mm-hmm.
encouraging them to follow their dreams. "Don't let anybody tell you you can't do it," Hoover said during this presentation of the Wright Trophy. "You learn how to do it, you figure out how to do it, and you are the only one who can make it happen."
Okay, he didn't tell me any of that. I just looked at the fact that he actually acknowledged my presence as a plus. That's all I needed.
Those are good words of advice, Greg.
More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Big news about that fine organization coming up here on the show today. But before we get into that, let's talk about what I encountered this week, which is, you know, I got up
to close.
It's
always about Greg.
Well, it's
it's
about where
it's
I was.
It's just Greg Radio.
Yeah. Well, I got up close and personal to Trump One this week in Orlando. He came, you know, Donald Trump came through Orlando, Sanford Orlando International Airport. I was able to score tickets through some of our media connections. Not so much to hear what he said. I'm not going to get political on you. However, I wanted to see his plane. I've seen it on TV, and that thing is massive and impressive. And if you're a fan of aviation, you got to respect the guy who flies a plane like that, at least on, you know, some level. I wish I could have got in it. But, of course, there was this thing called the Secret Service, and they kind of kept me a good 30, 40 feet away from it. Mm-hmm. But he rolled it right up to this big crowd of people. And, you know, he came right out there, does his little thing. But, man, that's a big airplane.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine, like, what else is, how many people are on this thing? You could put an entire, 400 people on it if you wanted, I guess. I don't know.
757. Yeah.
Okay. It's a big-ass plane.
It's what Delta flies.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. But it
doesn't have as many seats as Delta.
What I was going to say. I don't know what...
It's a lot more comfortable.
I would think.
I imagine a little more plush.
Actually, yeah. They had a plane about the same size, maybe just slightly smaller, mm-hmm. that flew in before it. Mm-hmm. And I assume that was for all the press that's following him around.
Probably.
And then he comes in with his plane, which maybe, has 10 people on board? I don't know. I don't have any idea how many people were on his plane. But I'd love to get a tour of that thing.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's
actually,
up there on
I think
YouTube
that
or something.
There probably is, because, you know, he gives tours of his house and all that stuff. And
so, Donald, if you're listening, just know we would love to see your airplane. That doesn't mean we're going to vote for you. It just means that we would like to see your airplane. Deal? You guys are looking at me like it ain't going to happen?
We're just wondering if he's one of your personal friends.
Well,
they can get us on there.
This is one way to try. You got to reach out. You got to ask.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Flying is the worst one because people come back from flights and they tell you their story. And it's like a horror story. They act like their flight was like a cattle car in the 40s in Germany. That's how bad they make it sound.
Right.
They're like, it was the worst day of my life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. Right. And then we get on the plane and they made us sit there on the runway for 40 minutes. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight, you non-contributing zero? That you got to fly? You're flying! It's amazing!
Oh, down there, the morning made of sailors in the air, keeping the midnight stars held high.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so I saw Trump won in Orlando when it came to town. Sanford or Orlando International Airport.
Orlando, Sanford International Airport.
Okay, we can take that, reverse it. And, yeah, it was impressive. You know, the thing about the airplane, about Trump's plane, I will say it looks way bigger in person than it does on TV. And so does his hair. But I'm just saying, you know. But
you're just jealous.
Well, I'm jealous of his airplane for sure.
Well, I was talking about his hair.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a redhead, so you know. Anyway, it was fun to see his plane up close. And if you have the opportunity, you ought to go check it out. You know, it's kind of neat to see that thing fly around. If we could only get inside, because I have a feeling it would be much more impressive. But it is a big, big plane. And definitely the size of plane we probably could use here for Just Plane Radio. And we're well on our way because you guys keep getting all these big awards. In no time, the manufacturers are going to be just giving us planes to fly over wherever we want, right?
Well, I'm thinking that after Trump wins the election, since he'll be flying an Air Force One and you're such close personal friends with him, you could just have him, you know, donate his
airplane
757
to
Just Plane
Radio.
Flight
all right.
Training professionals.
Well,
Just Plane Radio.
There we go. Ed is on board with this idea, too. You're on board with him giving it to us.
I'm on board with anybody giving us an airplane.
Okay.
Well, I will not discriminate there.
Yeah, you will not take sides.
No.
If you want to give us an airplane, doesn't matter what campaign you're for.
Or what airplane, for that matter.
Yeah. Because, I'd probably take both as well. The other one, I just, you know. Well, we would probably have to repaint them regardless.
Yeah.
So.
You think?
Paint them a neutral color. Anyway, Ed and Keith actually got some big accolades this week for Flight Training Professionals, the flight school they manage here in Orlando. And congratulations, guys, because you're voted the best school in the world, according to AOPA, right?
In the United States. Members.
In the U.S., not the world.
Well, but yeah, it's part of
why stop at the U.S.? Come on, let's be real.
It's called the AOPA Flight Training Excellence Award, and we were selected as the best school for 2016.
Yeah, no, that is good stuff. I kid, but actually, that is a huge accomplishment, and says a lot about how you guys, manage the business there and how people go through the program and enjoy how you, bring them into the aviation world.
Yeah, we're
myself included. I'm like a special case. And you guys have tolerated me this long.
Special needs, I think.
We do special needs instruction.
You get credit
as well.
For that. Yeah.
We have a short bus you can ride to the airport.
All right. I prefer a plane, but whatever.
But, no, we're very honored by this, and especially because how this came about. It's a program that's been going on for about 5 years. Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been sponsoring it, and it is... a survey that they put out, and people who are taking flying lessons fill out the survey,
right.
And based on the results of the survey, they award this award. Mm-hmm. And for the last 3 years, we've been on what they call the honor roll, which means we've been ranking, but you know, it definitely have not had as many submissions or however the selection process works.
Yeah.
But this year, evidently, we did very well in the quantitative side of the responses that the people that have been doing training with us have given, and which includes shopped us basically as a secret shopper and said we'd scored very well on that as far as our approach to
marketing. What do you mean a secret shopper?
Well,
explain that.
Person called up looking for flight training and
yeah.
asked us questions about our flight training process, mm-hmm. and we did very well. We're very informative and very upfront with the flight training process, and made them feel that we were the best in the country.
Nice.
And you know,
we could not have done this without our instructors.
Well, exactly.
We don't credit where credit's due.
Well, I was about to get there. What happens in our training business is we hire instructors, and the AOPA called us up and did an interview with us. And one of the things that I pointed out is, you know, well, the first key to our success is we hire the best instructors we can find, and then mm-hmm. we train them further to put out the best pilots possible, you know, and are the best training standards possible to be the safest possible, and we take the time to teach them how to do good customer service, and that's what shows, because the customers are the ones that are basically giving us this award because they took the time to go through and take the survey, and
right.
their answers were the ones that got us to where we're going, which is a direct reflection of what the staff does with them on a day by day, hour by hour basis.
Mm-hmm. And some of them have actually tolerated the fact that we do Just Plain Radio every week.
Oh, yeah.
Listen in.
Yeah.
And
we play it there at the school for them.
That's right.
And, you know, they just find they're like, really? That's you? Why would you subject yourself to such nonsense? And which shows how much patience you guys actually have.
Yeah.
That's a compliment.
How long have we been doing this?
We lost track.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. It's a labor of love, right?
Yeah,
it
yeah,
is.
That's it.
Yeah, but it is well deserved because they really do. As much as we kid around on the show, you guys do run a fine operation. All the instructors are top notch. You walk into there, and it's no surprise to me that you guys won this award because everybody, including myself, I mean, I went through the program. I haven't finished yet. But I still am actively, you know, wanting to achieve that at some point when I'm ready to do so. And I look forward to it. It's a fun atmosphere they create there, flight training professionals. And hats off to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
And as far as, I mean, what do? You guys get a big statue, like a bust or something, or what?
I think there's some kind of plaque coming. Basically, at this point, we found out about it a few weeks ahead of time.
Yeah.
We were supposed to receive the award at the Redbird Migration last week, and I was scheduled to go out to do that. But as Greg well knows and Keith well knows, my wife had a little incident and hurt her foot, and so I had to stay home. So,
but she's okay.
Yeah, she's okay.
Yeah.
We went and Skyped our acceptance of the award, so they played it at the awards dinner in Texas, and so there was our mug up on our both Keith and myself up there accepting
right.
the award, and then there's an article that's on AOPA online. And mm-hmm. They interviewed us for that last week, and then next week they're coming out, and there's going to be a video that they're going to be producing, and
that'll be they're going to film that during the NBAA
yeah,
show.
Yeah, at the end of the NBAA show, they're going to come over to our office for part of the day and
Sweet.
Interview customers, interview staff, and there's going to be a video put
Should
out.
Should I be there to you know be there just in case they need some?
I think you're at the boat show that day.
Some B-roll.
I think you're at the boat show that day, Greg.
Yeah, that may be, but I could change my schedule if you guys would like me to.
We'll talk about it off of air.
Yeah.
No, I'm too.
Right. While you guys are filming at the school, can I just walk around behind you and act like
like in Sharknado?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
That'll work.
Like a Where's Waldo kind of, and I'll just kind of, you know, photobomb you. Jump in there, give the thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and obviously, you know, we're going to promote.
Yeah.
Get
well,
it on
great.
Our website.
No, it's a great accolade for sure.
On Facebook and all that stuff.
And they've only been doing this a few years, right? This is a relatively, you know.
Yeah, they've been doing it, what, 5 years?
5 years.
Yeah. So, that's great. You're one of the five, you know, organizations in the entire country that have this. That's quite an achievement.
Yeah.
And that's good stuff. But I do wonder, do you get like a, you don't know if you get a statue or a bust?
I think there's a plaque, not a statue plaque. Or a bust, but a plaque.
Hmm. Sculpture, nothing? I mean, maybe we could come up with something. I think a bust.
Let's put you in charge of that.
Are you like, you know, they got those 3D printers. Why don't we just get you two together and, you know, take a picture and have one of those, like, you're both
what,
giving
can you
the
imagine what
up.
That would look like?
Oh, yeah. I can. I can very much. And that's why this is a good thing. It's just plain radio.
Lifelike statues, you know, that, you know, one extremely tall, one not so extremely tall.
Well, very good point. Good point. I'm telling you, it'd be a hit for me. I'd enjoy seeing that. Okay. Something for the pigeons to land on. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yes. That's the way we get rid of the birds at the airport.
Hey, there's an old
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Awareness and common sense go a long way on a boat. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how to avoid violating basic boating etiquette next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Dive boat etiquette is about safety and respecting the crew and your fellow divers. First, ask for permission to board before just jumping on deck and setting up your gear. Once you do, keep it clear of walkways and stowed out of the way. And pay close attention to the briefing. You may have heard it before, but that doesn't mean everyone else on the boat has. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, kill the motor, dude. Let us see what Squirt does flying solo.
Watch me get ready to fly. Watch me get ready to fly.
Oh, yeah. This is Just Plain Radio. If things go as planned, next week we are going to be originating our show from the NBAA show. It happens to be right here in Orlando, but that's anybody's guess. Who knows? We'll see. That's what we are planning to do at this point, but by the time the show airs next Saturday, we could be in Cuba. I have no clue. But it's chaos at the airport right now, partly because of your award. And secondly,
no, I don't think so.
Oh, it has nothing to do with that.
So
the crowds, you're trying to, you know, you have to hire extra security, paparazzi.
No, that, no, we don't have groupies like you do.
Well, I'll come over and see if I can help out.
We're hoping that someday we do, but you know.
Yeah. Well, if you want, pay me, and I'll come over and you. Ed Keith, oh my gosh, It's you!
We don't want those kind of groupies.
Nope.
Well, I'm just saying, I would be willing to. Anyway, I'll be at the NBAA show, and we'll be covering that, checking it out, seeing who shows up, seeing if some celebs show up. They usually go out, and you know, I always hear about them being at the Vegas version of NBAA, and then when we have Orlando, I always miss them. Mm-hmm. I mean, 2 years ago when it was here, John Travolta was there. I missed him,
mm-hmm.
and I think that was all I heard as far as celebrities in town for the show.
Yeah, I don't remember many in for...
But I've missed the guy from Iron Maiden, the lead singer of Iron Maiden has been at the show before. I missed him. I did see Ken Griffey Jr. He did show up last, when we saw Bob Hoover a couple years ago. Wasn't he was there? So maybe he'll show up this year at the show. You never
know. Keeps an airplane out of executive.
Exactly. So we got that. But I'd like to see the guy from Iron Maiden, Harrison Ford. John Travolta would be nice. I'd like to see some of the celebs just walking around. You know, so you're going to keep an eye out for me.
And yeah, we'll
call me up
you.
On the walkie-talkie. Greg, 4 o'clock. Harrison Ford, go up and make that Chewbacca sound.
He's been there.
Yeah. I haven't seen him the last couple of years.
Right. No,
but we've talked to him there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You guys talk to him.
He's another guy that's really good about just talking to people about aviation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't go up and ask him a bunch of questions about the, you know, Rogue One Star Wars movie?
What are the V-speeds on the Millennium Falcon?
Right. Exactly.
He does a lot of charity work with his airplanes as well.
Yeah,
he's a great, great guy for aviation as well.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to come up with some intelligent questions just in case he's there. But I am going to be wandering with a tape recorder, so hopefully we can, you know, corner some of these people before, you know, security pulls me away as usual. And get that on the show next week. We'll see.
Security. I'm surprised they didn't do the Trump rally.
Security.
That's right. What about, I mean, have you heard of any or seen anything over at the airport that you're like, ooh, this is going to be cool to check out?
No,
or is
right
it too early to tell?
Right now they're putting up porta potties.
Yeah, putting up tents.
Okay.
Well, turning the ramp into a tent city.
I'll tell you what, we've never done a segment from a porta potty at an air show.
And you can go right ahead and do that without us.
Emphasis on go.
it is definitely turning into tent city very rapidly out there.
Yeah, okay.
All the trucks are lined up yesterday morning and this morning again.
Yep.
But the planes haven't started arriving yet, or
they should be starting today.
Okay, all right. So, do you have any idea? Have you heard any?
110 display aircraft was the last thing I heard that wasn't confirmed yet, though.
Yeah. Was that bigger than 2 years ago in Orlando?
Bigger than 2 years ago, yeah.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
It might be an economic indicator. We'll see.
Yeah.
But as far as specific craft or anything, have you heard anything like something different than normal? Or just we'll know when they get here,
I haven't heard anything.
All right. Well, that's...
A lot of people save their press releases until they get here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of... shoot little tidbits out, you know, that they're going to unveil this or that, but they don't.
Well, really, the press day is on Monday, Halloween.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if, does that mean we're supposed to go dressed up as something? Like
a zombie? Think so. I do think so.
Okay.
So
all right.
Be sure to do that.
All right.
I'll be working.
I got this 70s outfit with some platform shoes where the heels look like an aquarium. There's a little fish in there.
You can fit right in with John Travolta.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, there you go. I don't get the white suit yet. I just got the shoes.
Well, you better go get one.
Well, I was thinking I'd go as a 70s streaker.
Definitely not going down that day.
I'm flying.
Happy Halloween!
Me?
Anyway, yeah. Could be. good times. But yeah, it is a fun show. And even though it is catered toward business aviation.
Is.
Huh?
Said yes, this is.
Okay. But it, you know, there's some consumer level things that, you know, we try to zero in on, as opposed to, you know, all corporate jets and stuff. Those are kind of, you know, wow type things. But some of the technology they get in the business world tends to filter down to general aviation, and that's what I try to look for. I mean, Textron's going to be having a huge display with all the Cessna planes. Do they get a new plane? They're going to be showing at this, or is it going to be that corporate
jet? It's going to be a corporate jet. They're not going to have any of their small airplanes.
No,
there.
They're not going to have
they'll,
any. Huh?
They'll have the Kinger will probably, or maybe the Caravan will be the smallest.
Yeah.
So basically turboprops and up. They probably will have the new Latitude there, which is their new large corporate aircraft.
Right. That's a, like the 10-seater or something. Isn't that what it is?
It's a stand-up cabin. We actually walked through the mock-up of it at the last NBA. That's what they had down at the convention center.
Yeah, that was a pretty big plane. It wasn't as big as Trump's, but it worked for us here at Just Plane Radio. Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you talk to them about
that? Well, if they got it now, what are they going to do with it?
Sell it.
Try. Good luck. Why sell it when you could give it to us? These guys got the award for best flight school in the world.
Think of how many people we could train in that airplane.
Yeah, see? Yeah. You got to work on your pitch, I'm telling you. We'll fine-tune this and see how long we last before... security comes over and kicks us out of the show.
Okay. Security.
You're going to want to tune in for that one, for sure. And on that note, we'll leave it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.